We have a right because we know who he is and what he has given to us. And if you don't, before the service is over, I want to remind you to the word of God that there's a power working on the inside of you today. I want to remind somebody and stir something inside of you, what you have on the inside. And if I can stir you to understand what you have on the inside, you're going to say, I've got a right to praise the Lord. I got a right to sing and shout and dance and get full of the Spirit of Almighty God. I got something inside of me. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to begin verse 9. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 9. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't have it, say wait on me. All right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Don't laugh if they were sitting next to you when they said that. Just say bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. It's Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. If you have the strength, it is our custom to stand in respect for the reading of the word of the Lord. In the Old Testament, when the word of God was read, they read and stood a third part of the day, 8 hours. We won't even be a little bit close to that. Acts chapter 8, verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time, so in the past, in the same city, he used sorcery. And he bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. To whom they all gave heed, so they respected him or they honored him because what he was able to do, from the least to the greatest, saying about him, this man is the great power of God. So how they viewed Simon in that community, they viewed Simon as a great power of God. They were awestruck by his abilities to work in sorcery. They were awestruck by his ability to operate in the supernatural. And to him they gave or had regard because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. So they didn't recognize they were being bewitched. But yet they honored him because he did sorcery. But this same person who operated in the supernatural, the same person that operated with witchcraft, the same person that had authority on that level and respect from their eyes, this is what happened to him. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. I want to first tell everybody in this place, no matter what your Christian background is, the only way they were baptized in the Bible was in the name of Jesus Christ. Not one place in the Bible were they ever baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, except for the fact they knew the name of the Father was Jesus. They knew the name of the Son was Jesus, and they knew the name of the Holy Ghost was Jesus. And any English teacher would tell you that there's a name for a title, and we understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What's his name?
Jesus.
All right. So they were baptized, both men and women. Now watch verse 13. Then Simon himself, a one who was a sorcerer, a one who had respect among the people, a one that operated in the supernatural, he believed also. And when he was baptized, say he was baptized too. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Someone who did miracles and wonders and signs was now wondering at the power of the apostles that did miracles, wonders, and signs. Why? He knew that he did not have the real thing, but he saw what the apostles had. They had the real deal. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, please, everyone hear the teaching I'm about to give to you right now. every believer in the sound of my voice. We read clearly they were baptized. Amen? When Peter and John heard that the Samaritans received the word of God and believed, who, verse 15, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Many people will teach you that the minute you confess the Lord as your personal Savior and you ask Jesus into your heart, and when you believe, that automatically you have received the Holy Ghost. If that is a belief you have, then I would question you and ask you, then how do you explain this verse? Why in the world would they call Peter and John to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost when the scripture has already said they believed and were baptized? That tells me just believing and just being baptized does not automatically mean you have the Holy Ghost. It's not scriptural. They had to call Peter and John down to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible explains itself further. Verse 16, for as yet he, speaking of the Holy Ghost, was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized. How were they baptized? You read it. Were they baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? How were they baptized? We only in this church baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, because there is only authority in the power of a name. If I wrote you a check for $1 million and I put Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, the bank will look at you and say, we're not cashing this check. But if my name was on it, that check will get cashed. Let me tell you, if you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, let me add to what you've already had. I will not take away what you did in your obedience, but I will tell you scripturally, take on the name that is above every name. We pray for the sick in Jesus' name. We pray for our food in Jesus' name. If we are about to get in a car accident, we don't say, help me, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You say, help me, Jesus. At the mention of his name, you know he shows up. So then what difference does it make that if I'm going to go down in the water, I'm calling on the most matchless, powerful name, the name of Jesus. So, verse 17. After they were baptized in the name of Jesus, then laid their hands on them, and then they received the Holy Ghost. It wasn't automatic. Now, talked about a sorcerer, someone who had power, someone who operated in the supernatural. He was baptized. He believed. He hasn't seen the Holy Ghost yet. Nobody got it when he got baptized. No one got it when he believed. But in verse 18, he saw something. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. I want to preach to you, we've got what they want. We've got what they want. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to be loose in apostolic authority this morning. This morning, we want the power of your spirit to be loose inside of us. We want you to awaken what you have put inside of us. We want to be able to operate and live according to the power that you have given to us. Unlock our understanding about what lies inside of us and help us recognize we got what the world wants. We got what the world needs. We have the answer, and it is the power of the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Let revelation come down in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands as you are seated here in the house of the Lord. Someone shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The following of superheroes in our society is at an all-time high. The profits in the movie industry for these movies are in the billions of dollars. Do not raise your hand, it's not necessary, but I would guess that a majority of people in this room have seen Black Panther, Avengers, so on and so forth. The study of Greek gods and mythology has not decreased. It is not only studied in universities, but all the way down to our elementary schools because I work them. The thirst and desire for the supernatural things are sought after. They are promoted, and they are written, they are screened, they are produced continually on a massive scale. There are so many Wiccans, witches, cults, and the occult behavior all across the world, in our high schools, to all the secret places throughout this country. In fact, there was a time in our church that there were a group of Wiccans that were specifically showing up at our building and praying against this church. But can I remind those Wiccans and remind everyone of us here today that no matter what you try to pray against us, we are the true church of the living God, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Every attack that has tried to come our way has seen fleed seven ways. The Bible says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Can I tell this church, we are a church that will never stay down because we can't. God has already spoken a word over our life, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Whatever your ailment, whatever your issue, whatever your problem, if you're in the church, you are a victorious people, and there ain't no devil in hell. I say it loud, I say it proud. There is no attack, there is no weapon formed against me that has the power to prosper. I know he tries, I know he makes efforts, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I see in the schools today many kids, and they have books about vampires in their hands, books about dragons in their hands, etc. And I say, wow, people are so literally obsessed with all of this stuff. Don't even get me started about what goes on in the music industry, because they're not hiding it anymore. They're blatantly showing you that they are part of the occult, and they profess themselves as influenced by Satan himself. But the question is not anything else, but why? Why is it so rampant? Why are so many drawn to the occult and to the supernatural and to things of that nature? Why is there such a hunger for these things? I tell you, it's nothing new. Humanity has always lusted after spiritual things. But what the problem, I believe, is that what we have is what they want. But what they've been selling for is a copy of the supernatural. And the problem is the enemy has moved in because the church has stopped operating in the power that we're supposed to have. They wouldn't have to lust after the supernatural if the church truly operated in the supernatural. If men and women would refuse to allow the enemy to move in our minds and say it is the way it is without fear. Feeling an empowerment inside of you. I might say it is what it is. I will put a comma after it, not a period. I will say, but God. Because anytime things might be hopeless, if God showed up in the scene, I might be tired, but God. I might be sick,
But God, I might feel like I'm lost, but when the supernatural of God's power begins to move in my spirit, I don't know about you, when the power of God hits my soul, I tell you, everything changes in my life. Is there anybody here that says, I want my life to operate in the supernatural? In the natural, I should be frustrated. In the natural, I should be tired. In the natural, I should have all kind of hiccups and hang-ups, but God, but the power of the Holy Ghost makes a difference. Let me explain further. The real authentic power has been in the hands of those that have not fully recognized what they have in order to use it for the glory of God. John 10:10 says, Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Notice the first thing that Jesus says. Satan comes to steal. Can I say, he wants to steal our identity and our purpose of having the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in our churches have been watered down. We think the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost. We think we're full of the Holy Ghost only because I say certain words that God empowers me to say. Speaking in tongues is evidence, proof you have the Holy Ghost. And the speaking in tongues does build up your most holy faith because you know it's God doing the impossible in you. What we're not operating in is more than tongues. We speak in tongues, but we don't operate in power. Because we think wrong. And we think so long as I babble in tongues, that's what is doing something. You want to know why I shook my head no? Because if we really operate in the power of the Holy Ghost, there's some things right now you wouldn't be struggling with. I will never water down the Holy Ghost. If I got depression, it ain't the Holy Ghost. It's me not really being full of the Holy Ghost. If I got problems that I feel like I cannot deal with, then I'm not operating in the power that God has given to me. And the reason why the world is searching for something, because so many Christians are not operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to dig a little bit. So he steals and he distracts us from the purpose and the power of the Holy Ghost. And he is absolutely content with both you and I to keep on speaking in tongues. And then Monday through Friday and Saturday, you don't even know how to overcome. In fact, majority of people don't even speak in tongues, only at church. And then it's God's fault why you walk defeated. And then it's God's fault why you are always tired. And it's God's fault you're always hurting or frustrated. And you're saying, God, I know you. I know about you. How come I'm walking in this? And God is saying, you are not walking what I told you to walk in. Because if you prayed in the Spirit and walk in power of the Holy Ghost, we will see in the Word of God that when the Spirit comes upon you and working inside of you, you are a witness that I'm full of the power of Almighty God. Why is there joy in your soul with hell all around you? I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I got a power on the inside of me. And I'm praying before the service is over, someone would get loose in that power and say, I'm walking in power. I'm not just going to depend on tongues. I'm going to see my world turn upside down. I'm going to see things I have not seen before. I'm going to see and operate in the supernatural. And the supernatural would not just be limited to physical miracles. Everybody doesn't have cancer. Sometimes we want to attribute the miracles of God only to some chronic issue, some chronic illness, and it does include that. But more times than not, the majority of us are not dealing with health chronic issues. We are dealing with mental chronic issues. What goes on in our spirit? Bitterness and unforgiveness and inconsistency and being full of condemnation to where we're not free to raise our hands, full of guilt and full of shame. And that's also a chronic disease that ain't the will of God. But if somebody can get empowered with the Holy Ghost, I tell you, you won't be the same as you used to be. Don't come here saying, I just want to speak in tongues, but come here saying, God, overflow the inside, that you turn my mind around. I need somebody to point to your head and say, God, change my mind, empower my mind, turn my mind around. Satan comes to steal our desire to operate in what God wants us to operate in. And he waters it down. Steal our focus on being the ones with true, real power. I know this is a hospital. I'll be the first one to tell you this is a hospital. But a hospital is no good if everybody gets checked out and leaves the same way they came in. Jesus said, how long shall I contend with you? How long are you going to suffer in this place? How long is it going to be till you recognize that I really have the power? Stop holding on to the issues you have and really believe that when you come in the house of God, you're leaving free. Come on, just shake make that ugly face just like, nah, devil. You ain't gonna keep me in bondage. I'm not gonna make church getting my fix. Come on, preacher, preaching me again. I need my fix this week because the devil's so strong. Get that spiritual syringe out of your arm and start professing. Devil, I got what you want. I got the power of the Holy Ghost. And when I come here, I'm coming here to gain more power to keep on whooping you. You ain't here because the devil whooped you all week. You're here because it's time to get refueled to whoop him some more. Aren't you tired of being his whooping board? How about you get equipped with the anointing of God and you start tormenting him? I want to tell somebody, this is the hour to torment your enemy. The devil should be so afraid every time we get together. He's saying, it ain't no ordinary church. The majority of churches are getting fat. Feed me, preacher. But Lighthouse Church is saying, come on, I'm spent because I've been whooping on the devil. Give me more tools so I can go back and whoop him some more. That's why we come in the house of God. I'm going to praise him more because I've had a good week whooping on the devil. I need a refill to keep on doing what I'm doing. The reason why you put more gas in your car, and because the more gas you have in your car, the more productive you can be to get to your job. Well, in this house, let this be a fueling station to say, I run out. I've been whooping on the devil. He tried to take my home, and I beat him up. He tried to take my kids, and I beat him up. I've been praying all week. Now give me more. I want to see more of the glory of God. I got to come and praise, because when I come and praise, the Spirit of God comes down, and I get more of it. And the more of it I get, come Monday, I'm fighting. Come Tuesday, I'm fighting. Change your mentality. I'm going to be very honest. Maybe it's just me. And never can I be critical of any preacher. I'm a preacher. But at the same time, take away all titles. Just as a simple person that believes in God, I don't want to hear every week how bad things are for everybody.
Right. Amen. Amen.
How can every week, with all the word we get, we got to preach again about how bad it is? Is that what the Bible teaches? How bad things are? We're excited here today because we are empowered. We've got something that if I really get it, preacher, you don't have to keep preaching about how bad things are. Because things can be bad, but I got the joy of the Holy Ghost. I got about $2 in my bank account, but I still got a smile on my face because what the world couldn't give it to me. I tried the alcohol. Is there a witness in this house? I tried the drugs. Is there a witness in this house? But when I tasted and seen the goodness of God, and I see that his mercies are everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations, and I see that his compassions fail not, and great is your faithfulness, O God, towards me, I'm so much full of joy. I can't even explain it in the natural. It's a headache in my life, but in the supernatural, and the Lord is saying, that's what I want, that when trials and tribulations are in my life, I still got a praise on the inside. I still got a fire in my soul. What is it? It's the power of the true Holy Ghost. It's the power of the true anointing. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I don't want religion. I don't want tradition. I want power. The church, the book of Acts, one, Jesus was ascending into heaven. Supernatural. Acts 2, 100 people were in an upper room speaking fluently in a language they were never taught. Supernatural. Acts 3, a man who was lame, not only from his mother's, from his birth, but from his mother's womb, he was found leaping and praising and rejoicing in the temple, because there's no doubt it was supernatural. He was born one way. Rodney had to deal with somebody at school that says, well, I can't help it that I'm homosexual. I feel I was born this way. Can I tell you today, you just must be born again. And that is the supernatural. Let me tell you, they want what we've got. Acts chapter 4, when they had prayed with such intensity, it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the very place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Not only when you are filled with the true Holy Ghost will you speak in tongues, but also what you say will be different than what you used to say. When you really get coming out to an altar and you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll go home and you'll tell your family, I speak boldly in the name of Jesus. Things are going to turn around. But they've always been this way. It don't matter. I got refilled with the power of the Holy Ghost. It don't matter. When the Holy Ghost comes upon me, a new boldness, a new fire, a new zeal, a new hunger, a new passion rises up on the inside of me. What's happened to you? All I know, I've been in the presence of God. All I know, the power of the Holy Ghost showed up. Acts 5, a husband and wife were struck dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. And something stirred up to the point that insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Insomuch that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. It never said that that actually happened. The focus is their faith of what could happen when the supernatural is present. Philip baptizes someone in the name of Jesus, and then he vanishes. That's supernatural. I never vanished baptizing any of you all. I'm right there behind the pit. Saul was knocked off his horse and hears a voice from heaven. That's supernatural. Acts 10, the Gentiles are filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues while Peter is preaching. I pray that at any moment in our services, someone would feel the rumblings of the Spirit of God. Even during offering time, they'll raise their hand and begin to speak in tongues. I wish some saints would start doing the same. Maybe the problem is we're not filling this place up with the true power. But let me tell you, if anybody's going to be set free, we the Holy Ghost filled saints to truly be Holy Ghost filled saints, that at any moment we open up our mouths and start speaking the oracles of Almighty God. Is the power in you? They got what we want. Acts 12, Peter is delivered out of a deep prison away from 16 guards. Even he thought it was a dream, because I'm so deep in the supernatural. When you begin to walk in the supernatural, you might have to pinch yourself, because the power of God has taken you to another level. But the question is, are you hungering after that, or are you satisfied with church as usual? But I feel that this year is a spirit of desperation inside of the members of this church. We're saying, God, take me higher. We're saying, God, I want to operate in the supernatural. I want to be surrounded by a quarantine of soldiers. I want problems. Do you got problems in your life? Let me tell you, the supernatural can take care of those problems. But can you praise in your midnight? That's the question. When Paul and Silas were in their midnight, they didn't sulk. They didn't have a pity party. They said, I will bless the Lord at all times. times, his praise will be in my mouth. And then the supernatural moved in. Maybe, perhaps, the supernatural can't move because God can't move with doubt. I'd rather people look at me as someone that can help them. I don't want you to come to me and beg me about anything and say, well, if you can, then maybe. You know, I've been this way for so long. I'm getting tired of listening to you. Keep it real. There's some people that call you like, man. I'm not talking about people with true needs that want your help. I'm talking about how do you respond? We all respond in human nature to people certain ways. If somebody comes to you with true honesty and say, I know there's something in you that I need, how much willing are you willing to give them that? Especially when you do have it. God has the power to do anything. So he says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a of them that, and without faith it's impossible to. So if I come to God, I'm coming to God with a spirit of expectation. I'm praising you in my storm, because if I do, you'll show up and you'll calm it. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Paul is raised up after being stoned. Paul then preaches, and the Bible says, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite and a woman named Demarius and others with him. They were praying to an unknown God. And then Paul came and said, I revealed to you his name is Jesus. All these years, they sat there debating about spiritual things, about the supernatural. And then when Paul shows up, conversions take place, because they say, that's what I want. That's what my conversation has been about. I want what you've got. We must recognize what we have. Dagon fell at the foot of the Ark of the Covenant. Dagon, the enemy's God, had to bow down to the one true God. They want what we've got. The three Hebrew boys refused to bow down to an idol. And when the king saw that the fourth one was like the Son of God, he made a decree. The very one who made the image had to change his mind. And he said, therefore, I make a decree that every people, every nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Let me tell you, the world will recognize that there's more power that we got. The story of Daniel was they tried to stop him from praying, but he could not stop praying because he knew who was in control. And then the king, he couldn't sleep. I find it interesting that Daniel slept well with the lions, but the king could not sleep. But the reason why we can sleep with the lions is because I know what lies on the inside of me. And then the king said, Daniel, who your God is, was he able? Can I tell you, he's more than able. And so that king himself also had to change his mind and make a decree. Don't you pray to me no more. I want what Daniel has. If you keep your faith, if you keep on fighting, you will see that the greatest thing is God, and he's on your side. Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you, because you were more in number than any people. For you are the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand? Has anybody been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light? It's not because of what you did. It's because what he's trying to call you to. It's because of his love that he brings you out. Can I tell a young Christian? Can I tell an old Christian? Can I tell you God didn't save us from our past because we earned it? No, no, no. He did it because of his great love towards us. And he wants us now to use that to fight against the enemy and take territory back. But you gotta say, I got what the enemy wants. I'm tired of being cowardly. I'm tired of being passive. I'm ready to walk in the aggressive things of the Holy Ghost. I want someone to stand on your feet right now. In the book of Numbers, as they were in position to go and start to conquer other things, there were some that been delivered from sin, because it was Egypt, a type of sin. And God says, I brought you far, but there's still more I want to take you. But the problem is, some feared and some doubt, and some say, I don't know if I can do it. And because they could not see God, and they saw the natural more than they saw God, they were left behind, and they did not receive the promises of God. But let me tell you what Joshua and Caleb saw. I tell you, it was in Joshua chapter 2. There was a woman named Rahab. She was a woman of ill repute, but she said, I don't know what took you all so long. I don't know why you were wandering for 40 years, because once we heard that God brought you out of Egypt with a mighty strong hand, once we heard about the signs, about the wonders, about the plagues, about the darkness, about the frogs, about the flies, about the locusts, about the blood, let me tell you, we don't know what took you so long. Can I tell you, Rahab says, I see what's in you. Can you see what's inside of you? Let me tell you, Rahab said, I'm going with you. Why? They want what we got. Someone raise your hands right now. I want the spirit of prophecy to move in this house. Naomi, you left Bethlehem. Naomi, you went through a rough patch, and you left your first love. And you left what God called you in because of a temporary drought. I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you right now in the spirit are in a temporary drought. To you, it feels permanent, though. The thing about a drought, I'm from California. You never know how long that drought is going to last. So you're in a drought, and you don't know how long the drought's going to be. So maybe you need to move from what God called you to be. And that's what happened to Naomi and her family, and they moved away. And that point of moving away, she lost her husband. She lost her two boys. And then she was there for 10 years, and finally she recognized, it's time to go back home to my first love. But Naomi had Ruth with her. And Ruth said, all I've seen in your life is tragedy. All I've seen in your life is negativity. All I've seen in your life is problems. So I don't really understand it. But something's compelling me to go with you and for your people to be my people and your God to be my God. Even in the middle of so much tragedy, there was something that Naomi had that Ruth still wanted. Can I tell you that same power is here right now to restore somebody to a remembrance that there's something in you, though you failed, though you've made mistakes, though you made some wrong turns, there's a Ruth that looks to you and says, I got to go where you're going. If you're headed back in the right way, then I know what's about to happen. And Ruth had enough sense that if you, Naomi, would make up in your mind to go back to your first love. Thank you. Naomi, if you're willing to go back to that God that I heard about, as bad as your life has been, I'm going with you. Because of the God that you serve, you get back in right standing with him, it's going to be better. Even though I've seen chaos. Are you hearing me today? Your worst days with God is always still better than what the world has. That's right. Move and come down to these altars and say, Lord, rekindle my spirit in me. Rekindle that fire in me, Lord Jesus. Rekindle that first love, God. They want what I got, and I want to be renewed in it, Jesus. I'm tired of just surviving. I want to thrive in the presence of Almighty God. So come down and talk to your God and say, Lord, I don't want to keep what they want. Baptize me afresh. Renew my spirit. That's right, church, all over this house. Let's move with the Holy Ghost. Let's allow the presence of God to do something. There's some Naomis that are coming back home. There's some Naomis that recognize it's better in the house of bread. It's better in the house of God. Change someone's mind today. Change someone's spirit today. Let somebody know without a shadow of a doubt that they have the supernatural living on the inside of them. Let them stir it up today. Let it stir up in their soul, God. A desire for you, Lord. A desire to be renewed in you, Lord. You'll take us back. You'll restore our joy. You'll restore our passion. There's a David on the inside. There's a David that's being impregnated inside of us. There's a king in you. If you would come back to